Thank you, Johnny. That's wonderful this morning, and hope everyone's having a great day. I know we are, and I know this is a great guest with us today, and we're going to bring you all kinds of information. But Javon, how are you? I was just forgetting what I was all doing here.
Well, I know. You're just running over me again.
I know. He's used to it, though.
I'm doing good. If I could see, I'd be doing real good.
Right.
Why
can't you see?
Part of that cataract they took out this past Monday was a week ago. Is still in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be wherever my line of sight is. I turn to the right, there it is. Turn to the left, there it is. Makes everything a little blurry.
Yes, but I know.
They're going to get it straightened out next week.
That's exactly right. So we're just, I bet we have, the hot question today, I don't know, we've been talking with our guest, and I'm just still over here. We've been looking at pictures of these boys and these deers, and yeah. I mean, so anyway, I can't help myself. But our hot question is, how can we keep our children safe from opiates? If you'll stay tuned, we have a special guest today.
We're brought to you today by Mitch Smith Chevrolet and Eckenrod Ford Lincoln, your Chevrolet and Ford Lincoln dealers here in Cullman. Two of the finest dealerships anywhere in the Southeast. They have a lot full of beautiful cars. They still have some 18s left. The 19s are on the lots. Folks, go by and see our good friends at Mitch Smith Chevrolet and Eckenrod Ford Lincoln and tell them that you heard about them right here on WKUL K92 FM.
That's right, Javon. And, you know, yesterday we had a wonderful time at lunchtime because H&R Block in Cullman on the South store, they and us, we partnered together, and they came out and brought us some lunch, and they did the question and answer about everything we need to know about our taxes this year because there's so many changes going on. And the other great thing H&R Block is doing, and it's not just the Cullman, this can be, nationwide, actually, all
yes.
H&R Blocks. If when you are the first time to go to H&R Block, then you can tell them that you would like to give to Cullman Caring for Kids. And what they do is the corporate office donates $20 every time you mention or when you mention that. And sometimes they even remind people, you know, there's different charities, but at the end, that'll be through the end of April, and then they will send us a check for all of that. And we've done that 2 years now, and they have raised a lot of money for us doing that.
Yes, they have. They sure have, and we really appreciate them.
Yes, and we're going to be setting up next week at H&R Block on the South End and have more information about Cullman Caring for Kids and how you can help. So come by and see us.
Nancy, we've got another event coming up very, very shortly. The 16th Annual Empty Bowls of Cullman County, the Chili Dinner. It's that time of year, folks. It will be on February the 18th, which is President's Day. It will start at 4 o'clock and will end at 6:30, and it'll be at the First United Methodist Church in Heron Hall. The tickets have been the same for 16 years, $10 each, and all of the proceeds go to Cullman Caring for Kids Food Bank to help us help feed a lot of people throughout the year. You know, go there with the intent. When you look at that bowl of chili, just think there may be children out there who don't have anything to eat. So that $10 that you give will buy 70 pounds of food. So just think about that and make sure that you come out and we're excited. You're going to get a beautiful bowl that is unique. There is not another bowl exactly like it in the whole world.
That's right.
So, you know, 50 years from now, we 16 years, I've got collector's items.
That's right.
But
I got a bunch.
Yeah, I do too.
So just don't forget, February the 18th, until 6:30, You can get tickets at the Coleman Care for Kids office over on 4th Avenue or at the First United Methodist Church office there on 3rd Street, that they're across from the Coleman Times. So please come out and join us. Enjoy this family atmosphere. We're going to have live music. There's going to be a silent auction. Man, we have a ball.
That's exactly right.
So come on out and join us.
That's right.
Nancy?
Yes, Jeff.
I have such a distinct honor.
Yes,
today.
You do.
Known this young man for a lot of years. I think he was 2 when I first met him.
Probably.
But it really is my honor and privilege to introduce our guest today, Coleman County Sheriff Matt Gentry. Matt is beginning his second term as sheriff. He had a very eventful first term. I think he will agree with that. I mean, the first day in office, he had a standoff with somebody that was barricaded down close to Garden City. That's not
that
really
was the way to start.
That's just not the way. In the fire.
That's right. That's
not the way you really want to start your first day. Now, but,
no.
But anyway, Matt, it is so good to have you with us again. And tell us a little bit about yourself. It's been a little while.
Oh yeah, well, Javon, Nancy, it's great to be with y'all, and it's just an honor and privilege to be the sheriff of Coleman County. And you know, I tell the other 66 sheriffs, we live in the greatest county in the state of Alabama, and it's because of our citizens. And I just appreciate y'all so much and what you do for our kids and our community. And, you know, I'm married to Susie Gentry, and we have 2 boys, William and Walker. They're 8 and 10. And that's what we were just talking about, deer hunting. Yeah. I got 2 boys that love to deer hunt.
They
so they've killed 3 deer this year, and now Nancy's wanting to go. So
yes, I am. That's right.
But, but you know, we're just, you know, all of our families here, and we're from Coleman, and this is our home. So it's real important to me and everybody here to keep our home safe and clean.
Amen. So. Very good.
Well, we're glad you're with us today. And, you know, we want to talk about safety for our children and the drugs that are so destroying families.
Sure.
So what is the worst kind of... What's our drug problem now?
Well, you know, typically what we're seeing is still meth is the most prevalent drug.
Okay.
But opiates is coming on us like a freight train.
Mm.
And what we deal with it, and I'll say this, as I go around and talk to the schools, one of the questions I ask the kids, and I have the teachers close their eyes so they can't, you know, the kids be honest, but probably 40% know somebody that has either brought marijuana or pills to school.
Wow.
And this is 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Really?
And we're hitting 20 to 15% know somebody that's brought meth.
Oh, my God.
And I'm getting about 6% that know somebody that's brought heroin to school.
Really?
But getting back to the opiates, which heroin is an opiate, but also, you know, there's a lot of pills that are opiates. There's not a fear with the kids on pills. I can go talk to the kids and you can say meth, and they're going to say, well, your teeth fall out, you get sores on your face.
Yeah.
Because we've educated them so long to that.
Mm-hmm.
You can even say alcohol, and they'll say, well, you don't drink and drive, you could kill somebody, you'll go to prison for murder. But when you say pills, the response you get is, well, I got family members that take pills, the doctors prescribe it, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's so true. Mm-hmm.
And they're not, there's no fear there. And so what we're seeing is these kids will transition into using pills. And then as they get older, they don't have access to them, and they're shifting to other drugs like heroin. Mm-hmm. And those are immediate killers.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's really a fight that we're taking on to educate our kids to the danger of prescription pills. Most people don't know, but in Alabama, we are number 2 in the nation for opiate prescriptions.
And that's not something to be proud of.
No, that's... Oh.
I mean, think about it. In the nation,
yes,
we're number 2 in the nation.
Oh my, what's number 1?
I think it's Florida is number 1. But so we're number 2 in opiate prescriptions in the United States.
So that means there's a lot of physicians out there writing prescriptions that mm-hmm. should not be.
Yeah, and one of the things you see now is there's more regulations coming down on them saying, hey, look, you know, you've got to be careful, because what happens, and most doctors don't have ill intent, but I'll just give you an example. Like, I've had family members that went and had shoulder surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were given opiates, you know, pain pills, and they might take one or two. Well, now you've got 30 or 40 left.
Right.
Well, they don't want them. They don't need them. And so, you know, but they're out there, and they're like, hey, you know, because they want to control that pain, but, you know, it's just so dangerous. And then what happens, they're sitting in that cabinet, and then those kids know, hey, my buddies talk about these kind of pills. Let me go get them out of the cabinet, you know, bring them. You know, and it's real different because they're not having to go to the street to buy illegal drugs. They're not having to go to the beer store and try to get somebody to buy them, you know, beer or liquor. It's in our cabinets. And
right.
It's real accessible.
So, very accessible for these kids.
I see your point there.
And one thing you deal with opiates is the physical addiction.
Yes.
Where other drugs, you have mental and psychological addictions. Where opiates, there is a physical addiction. And we deal with it in the jail, them coming in and being physically dependent upon opiates.
And that's not a pretty sight, is it?
No, it's 6 to 10 days of the worst DTs that you've ever seen.
I heard something on, well, there's a program on TV at night that's about drugs, and it's so sad to listen to their stories because they can come off of it, or they finally come off of it, but then they go back to it.
They do.
It's really, once you get off of it, it's so easy to fall back into that trap. Take one pill and you're right back on it.
It is.
Because your body has that addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And you take one, well, your body needs more immediately. Yeah.
Well, and you have to maintain those levels. And if you don't, then the DTs are painful. You know, and people don't want to go through pain.
They don't. And that's why they don't stop, isn't it?
No, that's right.
That was the other part of the story.
Well, and if they don't have it, that's why they're so violent.
Oh, man.
No, and people don't think about that. But you get somebody that is addicted to opiates and they don't have any, and they're trying to get money, they will do whatever it takes to get that because they're in pain. And that's why there's a lot of violence associated with opiates and heroin use.
Well, wow. You were talking there about heroin, and I know meth is still a big, big deal in this area, but you were talking about heroin. I believe I talked to you once before, and you had said that heroin is actually cheaper than meth.
It is.
And the only problem is they're cutting it now with fentanyl, which is one of the most powerful narcotics drugs that there are. I remember when my sister had pancreatic cancer, and right at the very last stages, they were giving her fentanyl. Yeah. And they had to wear my sister-in-law and brother had to wear two pair of gloves to actually rub that cream on her.
Yeah.
And they had to destroy those gloves immediately.
Yeah. Well, what you run into is like morphine. So fentanyl is 100 times stronger than morphine.
Oh, my gosh.
But so morphine's used in milligrams. Fentanyl's used in micrograms. So you think about something that is a microgram that is 100 times stronger than morphine. And that's what you're dealing with fentanyl. And the problem is our kids and our citizens that are addicts, you know, I go down somewhere and buy something, and it's deadly. And they don't really know what they're putting in their body. And it's an immediate killer, because when you take that dosage of heroin, then it immediately shuts down your respiratory system.
Yeah.
And so essentially you overdose and die.
I was in the emergency room, had some chest pain a few years ago, and my heart rate was so low that they couldn't give me morphine because they told me that if they gave me even the smallest amount, it could shut down lower my heart rate to where my body would not function.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
Oh, it
real
is.
Real scary.
And, you know, and then the good thing today, there's a lot of resources for people that want to get help. You know, if people say, well, there's nothing for me to do to get help, well, that's not true. There's a lot of resources out. There's rehabs all over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's transitional homes. You know, we have transitional homes in Coleman. You know, Carol Berry has several now for ladies.
Good.
You know, and
she's
does a transitional
really doing a great
home.
Job.
And they help a lot of ladies. And, You know, we have some men homes here in Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Taylor and them do, and they're transitional homes. You know, to go from, you know, maybe they're in that state of being clean for a while to get them to where they're at to stay clean.
Yes.
But then there's, you know, there's rehabs all over. You know, Teen Challenge is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And they have them all over. We have Royal Pines down in Blount County. So there's a lot of resources. And I tell everybody this, if it's going to cost you a lot of money to go, listen, it's typically not worth it. You know, what you're looking for is long-term faith-based.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
And it takes a year.
It takes a year. Maybe even longer.
Well, and the reason why is you have a chemical in your brain called dopamine. Dopamine, what makes us happy or sad. When you use drugs that first time, it's all dumped. And that's where they get the euphoric high. It takes a minimum of a year being drug-free before that chemical starts to replenish itself in the brain.
Wow.
So to give that person a chance, you need that year or longer so their brain starts to function normally again.
Yes.
And that's very important in the recovery process.
It is. It's you know, and so many people I feel like might feel that they, you know, have no hope. You know, that they have done this and now they're just in this and they don't see any way mm-hmm. out. But I want you to know that, you know, we have a God that cares and loves you, and he loves you no matter what, no matter how far down in the pit mm-hmm. that you are. God does not want you there, and he yeah. loves you, and he wants you to just say, God, help me.
Yeah.
I need you, God. I can't do this alone, and just look up to him and just remember, I mean, we don't understand God's love. It's unconditional. Mm-hmm. Unconditional. Yep. That
and
means
it's
it does
much bigger than we could ever imagine.
Yes,
no, that's right.
We can't imagine how God loves us so much that he gave his son to mm-hmm. die for us and our
that's
sins,
right.
And so he just wants us to ask for help, and he's there. Mm-hmm. And so don't think that you've done something so bad that God could never love mm-hmm. you or want you, because he does. He
yeah.
wants you, and
that's
he
right.
wants to help you through this terrible time. And the thing is, there is light at the end of this mm-hmm. tunnel. You just have to look for it, and you have to yeah. give it your best.
Well, yeah. one of the things that we see, you know, in our jail, we've got 33 programs that come in and out of our jail to minister and to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that for a reason, because it's really a three-tier situation that we deal with in law enforcement. Number one, the first is education.
Right.
We want to educate people to the dangers and what yes. we're facing. Number two is the enforcement side. And what that means is, if you're going to make the decision to be a drug user, drug dealer, break into people's homes, we're going to put you in jail.
Right.
I mean, there's, you know, and I know sometimes that sounds harsh, but that's just reality.
No, that's
because,
reality. Yeah.
You know, we're not going to allow people to wreak havoc on a community.
No.
But the third part of it is the rehabilitation side. And what I try to convince people the most of is, before you hit that second stage,
mm-hmm.
you know, you may be you're teeter-tottering on committing crimes. Well, when you go and you start that train going down them tracks, what we see is somebody that's never really been in trouble, but because they don't take the first steps to change their life, by the end of that train ride, now they're 10 felonies deep
because
they've broken into houses. They got caught with drugs.
Yes.
And it is hard to climb out of that.
Right.
And that's, you know, the biggest thing that we try to educate them to, because, again, you know, I've got a thing that I tell guys, listen, I love you enough that I'm going to put you in jail where you can't kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I want you to be alive. I want you to pay taxes. I want you to be a mother, a father, a productive member in society.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's all the choices they make,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's even like the good Lord, you know, he's going to make a way for you, but you got to meet him halfway.
That's exactly
right.
You know, right.
Mm-hmm. And you got to take those steps to meet him halfway. And if you do that, then, you know, the majority of the time you're very successful
mm-hmm.
if you go in with the right mindset.
But if you get, like you said, too far down the road, mm-hmm. I mean, you walk out of jail and you decide you want to get clean and you work really hard at it, and then you get to looking back and you're having to go to court about every other week
mm-hmm.
dealing with a crime that you committed when you were using.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it time and time again with our CASA cases and things like that, it's almost impossible for somebody that gets so far down the road to come out because they've got too much liability from what they've done in the past. It's hard. I mean, they do. They some do, but not all.
Well, and that's what one of the funny things, you know, with our cleanup crew, and Ron does a great job with it.
Yes,
you know, they're
he
out
does.
All the time.
Hey, I'm writing you a letter right now telling you how great the road crew is, especially during flood conditions.
Yes, those guys are. But I've had a couple of the young guys that are on the crew that are in jail say, well, this is embarrassing to us out here. And I said, well, you made the decision to do drugs and break into somebody's house. And I said, if you think it's embarrassing to pick up trash, then you should have thought of that before you done something bad like sell drugs, use drugs, steal from somebody, because you know what? You need to be embarrassed. You made a decision that would cause embarrassment.
Right.
I didn't do it. You didn't do it. Ron didn't do it. But, you know, Ron, it tickles me because typically Jefferson County has led the way in the amount of pounds of trash that have been collected. And the last 2 years, Ron has just beat the britches off Jefferson County.
Yes, he has.
And we're doing about... Awesome. You know, about 65,000 pounds of trash every year. And so we're real proud of Ron and what those guys get accomplished.
I know. He even got to go to Montgomery and get awards.
Yes. And I tell you, one of the things the inmates have told me, because usually if we're out in the community and we stop somewhere and they're out there, I talk to them and they said, you know what? I will never throw a piece of garbage out the window again.
That's right.
And that's a good lesson for them, you know, because they said, I've never picked up so much garbage. And I tell them, well, that's the way you should live your life.
Yes.
If you don't like picking up garbage and you don't like dealing with garbage, then don't bring garbage into your life.
But you're doing a little
that's
something
right.
else with them, because you're allowing them on the days that maybe we get a big load of food in to come up and give back to the community by helping the food bank.
Sure.
And let me tell you something, Matt, that to us is a godsend.
Yeah, we couldn't do it without them. We really couldn't.
Well, we love to support y'all, because what y'all do is so important. So,
well, thank you.
I'm glad those kids have a little bit to eat.
Yes, we are very glad.
We are very much. Yep.
I get tickled them though when they come. They know that they go in there and they can all get, because you know we pick up from Publix every day, so they can go in there and get them a sweet. You know, they'll get a whole pie or a whole box of donuts and cookies. You know, but they are smiling from ear to ear. Yep. It's so
and they work like trophies.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I mean, they work hard.
They do. They
it's
do.
It's good though. We, you know, and. And hopefully they'll get their life together.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's not entitled is not the right word, but everybody makes mistakes.
Sure, we all do.
Everybody. We don't make just one or two. We make a bunch.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah. So, you know, and everybody, you know, to me is equal. We all put our pants on the same, one leg at a time, you know. Yep. So no one's better than the other.
No.
So I don't want people to... I don't want you to, if you're listening and you're feeling bad about yourself or whatever, the thing is that you're as good as the next person. And you can do something with your life. There's just no doubt about it that you just got to make that effort. There's all kinds of things you can do to help yourself, help your community, help your family.
Yes, absolutely.
These families, these children, don't they want that mom and dad back?
They do. And children are very, children want... a response from their parents. I mean, they want that love and tenderness, and they want that. I mean, and they crave it, you know, and it's just, you know, it's something that's very, very important that we do with our children, because if you don't, then you can see the road where they're going to find it one way or another.
That's right. Right.
You know, and that's what, you know, whether it's a young girl, she wants her daddy. You know, boys want their mamas.
That's right.
And if they don't have that, and they want to, a boy wants a positive role model from his father. And a young lady wants a father that treats the mother the way they should be treated when they get married.
That's exactly right.
And we, you know, I think as a society, we've lost a lot of that. Because we're a selfish society where it's really about me.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's one of the, you know, even doing what I do as a career for the, you know, last almost 20 years, you know, it does take a lot of time. And so I always tell everybody I'm married to the meanest woman in Coleman County, but no, I'm really.
He really has. Yeah, I've heard him say that.
but I'm very blessed to have a wife that is very strong and understanding in what I do, because there's a lot of days I'll call her and say, babe, I won't be home for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been like that for years.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is, and she'll get on me too, if I'm working too much and going and going and going, she'll bring me back down and say, hey, the boys need you. And that's why we do things like deer hunting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so we have that quality time together, whether it's sports or.
Yeah.
And that's important.
It is.
Well,
and
I know that in working with our CASA program, we see the results of children who are come from abusive homes, from domestic violence homes, and it can't give you a definite percentage. But a vast majority of them deal with drugs or alcohol in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so many kids are picked up at the hospital, and babies, because the mother was addicted, and now the child is addicted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's sad to know that. Yeah, that's another thing. That is something that makes me so mad. And if you're listening and you're pregnant, you better not be doing drugs, because when you have that baby's going to come off those drugs, and it's going to shake. It's going to go through DTs. They're going to have to ship it to Birmingham to Children's Hospital, because that child is going through something so horrible, and it may not even live. And the thing that makes me the maddest is that child has to go through that, but then when you get home, then you start your drugs again. You get your fix. But that baby is there's something wrong with that baby the rest of its life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, to me, besides abortion, that is the worst child abuse ever.
Yeah.
So just think about your children. Think about it, because they're yours. You gave birth to them. Make them happy. Just be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're more important than that next pill or that next whatever.
Yeah.
But Matt, we've got to go. So what else do you want to say to our listeners today?
You know, I just want to tell our listeners how much I appreciate y'all and what y'all do for the community, and that, you know, the sheriff's office is here for them. You know, we always think about the negative.
Mm-hmm.
We always think about the negative. But, you know, we have a sheriff's office here that really cares about the community, and we have great deputies. We have great folks at the sheriff's office that really, you know, their life is to make sure that we're out there making things better for the community. And if they see the deputies, hey, you know, one of the things that we want them to do is introduce themselves to people, because we're engrossed in the community, you know, and if we
are strong
as a community, then we're strong as an office. So
that's
very important to us.
Absolutely.
And it shows. I mean, you
it
have
really
made
does.
Such great yeah. success and Thank changes you. And just everything. And I love all those guys and girls. They're just wonderful deputies.
Sure.
We love them.
No, thank y'all.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you for being with us today.
Oh, it was a good time.
Well, good.
Time.
Matt, thank you again.
Thank
and
you.
Our thought for the day is, the world is full of darkness, and opiates are one of the causes. So, folks, we do live in a dark time. There are places you can get help. Don't use drugs when you're carrying a baby. All the things that we've talked about this morning, just remember that, you know, God made you, and He can take care of you if you'll just let Him.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
We want to thank everybody that listened in today, and we're so excited that we get a chance to come every week and talk with you. And our prayer is that God will bless you beyond measure until we get a chance to talk to you again.
Have you hugged your child today?